You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Monday. Appreciate you being here with us on our podcast. It's game week. Football game week is finally here. We still got a few more days to fill before we can actually talk about a real Razorback game, but we can talk about real football games this week. Week zero, college football, just occurred over the weekend. We have some thoughts on that. Week one, Razorbacks against UAPB on Thursday night down at War Memorial Stadium. And breaking news, over the weekend, we got some trash talk coming out from Jefferson County. UAPB receiver Javonnie Gibson said, quote, during an interview with THV, Channel 11 down in Little Rock, he said, in the back end, I don't think they can really cover that much. They're big, but they're slow. So that's what he had to say about Arkansas's secondary. And you know what? He may be right. I don't think he's right. But the beauty of this is that Arkansas's players, Ethan, have to go out and prove that he is wrong in this game on Thursday night. And if nothing else, it kind of gives us a little bit of something to talk about Arkansas-UAPB instead of the fact that UAPB is a 48.5-point dog.
Yeah, I just don't think – I didn't see any trash talk from UAPB coming ahead of this game. It's just kind of, you know, you're fresh off a two-win season where you won it by a combined 2 points, mm-hmm. 2 one-point victories.
Including over a team that was Division II or NAIA.
Yeah,
or,
Miles College. I'm not sure what classification they are, but just probably not the safest route to go to try and, you know – talk smack against an SEC team ahead of time. I know Jalen Braxton.
Don't poke the bear.
Jalen Braxton, if he has seen this, that guy is somewhere ready to go. Jalen Braxton, I mean, you see him in practice. He's one of the guys that just kind of has the most fun. Like, it's like competitive against his own team, you know, when they scrimmage and stuff, just with like a kind of a little trash talk, yeah, but he usually backs it up. And so I just know if he saw this quote, Jalen Braxton is the one that would probably. Well, He's not going to be a fan of that.
Well, you know that if they haven't seen it yet, they're going to see it when they get to their team meetings.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, there's bulletin board material, and then there's this.
I mean, did you get a feel for Arkansas secondary last year that they were big and slow, though? I never really got that feel. I mean, they had some moments where they didn't play well. That's certainly true. But, you know, I was impressed at times with Arkansas secondary last year. They had more pick six interceptions than a Razorback team has had in a long time. And I know there's a lot of things that can go into that, but I feel like they've got some talent in the secondary, more so than for a player from an FCS team to be saying they're big and slow.
And Javonnie Gibson, the funny thing about the guy who said this is he just transferred up from University of Arkansas Monticello, which they didn't have a great D2 season last year. It's just, I'm just not sure he's ready to. This might not be time to try and talk trash. You know, the Arkansas secondary improved last year a lot. I mean, they went from last in the FBS in pass defense in 2022 to, I forget what they finished nationally, but it was very respectable. Like, they made huge improvements there. I just don't know if this is the time and place to be as a UAPB receiver smack talking.
I'm sure Marcus Woodson, because it's hard to get up for these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we watched the game the other day, Florida State, Georgia Tech. It's easy to get up for that game right off the bat.
Yeah.
It was easy 2 years ago for Arkansas to get up for playing Cincinnati right off the bat, especially the fact that Cincinnati was coming off a playoff appearance the year before. It can be hard to get up for these games, Western Carolina's, UAPB's, just because, you know, they see this number. They're a 48.5-point favorite in this game, Arkansas is. And that number may rise by the time kickoff happens on Thursday. This at least gives you some kind of motivation to play this game that, you know, and there still is a lot of self-motivation to it, but you're more often than not in these kind of games, you're trying to make your own motivation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this they couldn't have asked for better. The defense could not have asked for better than this type of quote going into this game, because that's one way to, like you said, poke the bear. I don't think that any of them are going to see this and not be able to get up for the game anymore.
You think it adds any appeal to the game?
I mean, maybe appeal right now. I'm not sure that by the second quarter we're going to remember that this. I'm sure it'll get brought back up that this was said.
Yeah.
But. You know, I don't think.
I guess for me, the appeal is whether or not the secondary can back up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that they're saying anything about this, but that they can prove him wrong.
Yeah, for sure. And UAPB was not good offensively last year in FCS either. Like, they were not horrible defensively, but offenses where they really just kind of stunk. I had these numbers the other day, but I think they were, I think, 9 or 10 spots away from last place in total offense and in scoring offense. So the Arkansas defense, if I'm the Arkansas defense going into this game, I'm kind of thinking I want to dominate. Like, Arkansas has not had a shutout since the Chad Morris era, 2018 against Tulsa at home. This is a game that if I'm an Arkansas defender, I go and I say I don't want them scoring. Like, try and get the first shutout in the Pittman era.
If you know, I think if you were to ask me, like, hey, trivia, which Arkansas defensive coordinator had the last shutout? John Chavis would not have been my answer.
No. There's not been one since, though. The closest they've come was UAPB a few years ago.
UAPB scored a field goal.
Yeah, it was a field goal. But if I'm the Arkansas defense and I see this quote, I'm like, okay, you're not getting in the end zone, nor are you getting in field goal range today.
I want to tell you that Josh Pastner, the former basketball coach at Memphis and Georgia Tech, is going to join us a little bit later, former John Calipari assistant coach. We'll get his thoughts on John Calipari coming to Arkansas and just what an offseason looks like right now for a Calipari coach team. Also want to give a quick shout-out to Arkansas soccer team. 9th-ranked Razorbacks scored 10 goals on Sunday and defeated Northwestern State from Natchitoches 10-0 over at Razorback Field. The 10 goals were the most Arkansas has scored in a game since 2017. Razorbacks are 2-0-1. They're going to play Gonzaga on Thursday at Razorback Field at 7 o'clock. So that game will be going on simultaneously with the football game. Week zero takeaways from college football. You know, the real big thing, Ethan, that I took away was that we think we know what teams are going to look like. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, think about this. Florida State was a 10.5-point favorite to beat Georgia Tech over in Ireland. They lost the game. SMU was a 13.5-point favorite to beat Nevada out in Reno, and they were outplayed for three quarters. It took a great fourth quarter by SMU and quite frankly some mistakes by Nevada in order for SMU to come back and win that game on Saturday. You just don't know what you're going to get from teams. And I feel like now more than ever, you know, with the portal, teams are changing so much that you think you know what you're going to see from them. But when you've got 40 or 50 new players, sometimes it can be you don't know what's going to happen in a bad way. Sometimes it can be that you don't know what's going to happen in a good way, but you just don't know what to expect from teams. And I think that, you know, for every team, that's you can maybe take some confidence away from that. But for a team like Arkansas, hey, you're picked to finish 14th in the SEC, but it doesn't mean that that's where you have to be. That's where you have to finish. And it does, just because you're picked to finish 14th, doesn't necessarily mean that there are 13 other teams that are better than you.
Yeah, and I think Georgia Tech right now, I mean, they've got to be feeling great. I think they were predicted preseason in the ACC to be 9th, which, isn't terrible, but it's not good by any means. But if you're a Georgia Tech fan right now, you're probably telling yourself, oh, wow, we just beat Florida State. We can contend for the ACC. It's just crazy how one result can kind of change how people view your ceiling. And in the same way, the one loss can, like, I was thinking about this, Florida State, had they suffered that loss last year in opening weekend, that's crushing, because with a 4-team playoff, you aren't recovering from that. They went undefeated and couldn't get in. But, like, this, them losing one game, like, they still have their whole season in front of them. With a 12-team playoff, they could recover and make the playoff. It's just one result. So I think it's always interesting, you know, these early season matchups, just to see the overreactions and then maybe a little bit of the unknown. Like, we didn't know that Georgia Tech could go. I kind of ruled them out. I was like, I'm going to go and watch this game expecting Florida State to win. And Georgia Tech just kind of consistently ran the ball down their throat. Mm-hmm. And it made me interested to see how the rest of Georgia Tech's season goes. I think that's just how these early season matchups go. You see the few that actually get to make the week zero lineup, and you become interested in those teams for the rest of the year because you watched all the week zero games.
I mean, Clay Henry always said it's about who can run the ball and it's about who can stop the run. Those are your best football teams. And Georgia Tech did a really good job, I thought, the other day of running the ball and stopping the run. And I also find it kind of interesting that their head coach is an old offensive line coach.
Yep.
You really didn't see that a whole – you saw it with Matt Luke at Ole Miss, but that was a little bit of a different situation because he stepped in as an interim. You just don't see that a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Coaches that have come from that background like Pittman has. Yeah.
And I think that – I don't remember the exact role that their defensive coordinator had, but he was with Elko at Duke and was doing all these just kind of causing confusion with – I don't know what the Elko – I know Elko defenses are a thing. I'm not sure, like, the trademark of it, but – he was taking some Elko like stuff they were pointing out on the broadcast and just causing a lot of confusion for Florida State offensively. I just thought it was interesting, you know, to see Georgia Tech, they had a performance like that, and I think you just saw a little bit of, like, you know, teams talk about they want to have an identity. You got a clear identity of Georgia Tech in their first game. They were
physical.
They're physical running the ball, and they confused the heck out of, I'm not even going to try and say his last name.
Oyongale.
That guy. Confused him defensively with kind of things that they were doing.
I love the Georgia Tech linebacker, number 44. I didn't write down his name, but yeah, he's a sophomore. He's got the big high collar in the back. I mean, he looks like a linebacker straight out of 1995 college football. I'll tell you what I hated over the weekend was the 2-minute warning. And I know that, I guess the announcers have been told, don't call it the 2-minute warning, call it the 2-minute timeout.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's copyrighted by the NFL or something. I don't know what that is. But actually, because we saw this, Florida State had all their timeouts left at the 2-minute warning. So from the time that the 2-minute warning began to the time that Georgia Tech actually kicked the field goal was 17 minutes. And this is without any reviews, mind you. I mean, they've got to figure out a way to speed the games up at the end, because what they did was 2-minute warning, three and a half minutes of commercials. Florida State takes first timeout, another 3 to 3.5 minutes commercial. Second timeout, again. Finally, they took the last timeout, and they stayed with the game, and I think it was only like maybe a 30-second to a minute break.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, it took a long time to play the end of that game.
It's funny, you crunch the numbers. I knew in real time. I was like, dang, the end of this game is taking so long.
Thank goodness for DVR.
Hey, but kept us on the edge of our seats. It was a great finish. You know, I enjoyed – I was happy to, you know, make that game as long as possible because I've been missing college football.
And that's the thing. Like, those games – on a regular Saturday, I could give a hoot about SMU and Nevada or really Florida State and Georgia Tech for that matter. Yeah. If Georgia Tech wins, that's a little bit different because Florida State. But, I mean, I found myself on Saturday sitting there watching Montana State and New Mexico like
McNeese.
I have something.
I watched McNeese versus Tarleton, Matt. I mean, we were desperate, starving.
I mean, I'm sitting there watching a game in Albuquerque like I've got some vested interest in it. I don't, but, you know, it's just nice to see. Yeah. A real game back.
That game was incredible too. It was really the only dud of the day was if you stayed up for Delaware State, Hawaii. I mean, that one wasn't very good, but
poor Delaware State. Think about their week. They missed their flight to Hawaii, then they get there, then the game kicks off at 11:59 Delaware time, and they play the game in the outer bands of a tropical storm that's moving onshore. rough week, I think.
I think they're the Hornets. Hornets are ready to be home.
Yeah, I hope they've made it home. I hope they didn't miss their flight back to the Northeast. All right, we're off and rolling. We got some thoughts on War Memorial Stadium coming up. Not going to take a position on War Memorial Stadium, but just really lay out some facts about the stadium and what's going to happen with the stadium moving forward, or at least what we think what might happen with the stadium moving forward. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns September 23rd through the 29th for the 18th consecutive year. Watch former Razorbacks and 2024 Olympians Maria Fassi and Gabby Lopez compete against the world's best female golfers at the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, presented by P&G at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers. The NWA Championship is so much more than a golf tournament, with something for everyone to enjoy and activities for fans of all ages. Daily tickets are only $10, and kids 17 and under get in free with a ticketed adult. Get your tickets today at nwachampionship.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
And welcome back. We appreciate you being here. Of course, Arkansas goes to War Memorial Stadium this weekend. And every time the Razorbacks play at War Memorial, you hear the talk start up. Should they be playing games in Little Rock? It's such a passionate discussion, I think, among people. Although I'm not sure that the the fervor is still there for games at War Memorial. And I want to get into that. Ethan, I've written down things that I know and things that I think I know as we talk about War Memorial Stadium. But before we get into that, you know, just a little bit of background. I didn't go to a game at War Memorial Stadium until I was probably 16 years old. And then I've gone down there dozens of times since to cover Razorback games. I don't have a dog in this fight. It doesn't really matter to me what Arkansas does. But I think because of that, I'm able to maybe step back and look at this a little bit more analytically than people who are, you know, so heavily interested in whether or not a game stays there. And you've got a little bit of a different perspective because your dad played for the Razorbacks and you grew up going to games at War Memorial less than an hour from your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were this is the thing, though. They were special back then. Like, my first memory of a Razorback football game, any game, was actually 2009, missing the kickoff. We were a little bit late to the Missouri State game in Little Rock, and that was
Dennis
a bad...
Johnson took it back for a touchdown.
Yeah, 91 yards for a touchdown and missed it. It was like the most exciting play of the game. It was a blowout from there, and we missed it.
Yeah.
But heard everybody going crazy. We were like literally in the concourse about to be there, and that happens. But there were special games. Like, the Petrino era, there were some special Little Rock games then. Yep. Like, I remember the LSU game, the 4th-and-3.
Mm-hmm.
They went on to win that game. That was a big one. They beat Mississippi State handily and made it the top three of the AP poll the next day, being all SEC. They were great in Little Rock during the Petrino era. I think that those games were special then because you got some of the bigger matchups. If you get LSU around Thanksgiving, like, they would pack the stadium for that. It was a big game, but it's hard to get up on a Thursday night for playing UAPB. I have the nostalgic, like, grew up going to this. Like, there's a charm to it, playing a War Memorial. But I feel like the older I've gotten and just seeing, like last year was a great example of, you know, having War Memorial and I know the AT&T Stadium contract ends, but having both of those games that early in the year, it just took away from what they could do in Fayetteville. They don't play in Fayetteville this year until week three, and then I don't think again until
October.
October. Mm-hmm. There's two sides to every coin, and I'm not sure that nostalgic is worth it at this point.
Well, let's lay out some facts. What do we know and what do we think we know? What we know is that Arkansas is contracted at War Memorial Stadium through September 6th of next year. They're going to play Arkansas State for the first time. That's the end of the Razorbacks' contract with War Memorial Stadium. Will it be extended past then? Possibly. But we don't know if it will be. There have been a lot of times where this contract has gone down, you know, to the final year or so, and then it gets extended. So I don't know if the fact that there's only one game remaining on this contract after last year really means anything. What I think I know is that momentum for games at War Memorial seems like it is waning every year. And I think part of that is what you were talking about, who they play there. I mean, it's hard. It doesn't matter if it's on a Thursday night or on a Saturday afternoon. It's hard to get up for a game against a UAPB or an Alcorn State or a Florida A&M or a Western Carolina. There have been some SEC games in there during that time, but I don't think there's going to be any SEC games going back to Little Rock. I think that the way they look at it is they want SEC games on campus for recruiting purposes, and I don't believe that you're ever going to see an SEC game be played at War Memorial again. As a result of that, you're seeing lower attendances. We talked about this last week. They've distributed somewhere between 35 and 40,000 tickets for this game a week out from the game. Probably going to end up with an attendance somewhere in the range of what they had last year against Western Carolina, which was in the 44,000 range. In the last five times that Arkansas played at War Memorial Stadium, that's the Florida A&M game in 17, that was on a Thursday night. They played Ole Miss on a rainy Saturday in 18, Missouri on Black Friday in 19, UAPB on a Saturday in 2021, and Western Carolina last year. The average attendance for games at War Memorial is 41,685. Mm-hmm. That's 77% of the listed capacity at the stadium. That to me is a huge red flag. Not only that, but I wish I had a way to break down the student attendance. The student attendance is almost non-existent anymore at War Memorial. It used to be, when I was in college, you'd pack up the car with four or five people and you'd drive down to Little Rock for the day and you'd drive back, or maybe you'd drive down and you had a buddy whose parents lived in the Little Rock area and you'd stay there and you'd come back. I don't think you see that anymore. You see that with the kids doing that going to Dallas, but you don't see them doing that for Little Rock anymore.
Yeah.
And if you don't have support of the young people for this game, that tells me that the writing is on the wall for the future of War Memorial Stadium. It may not be in the next 10 years. I don't know when, but it's not resonating with the young people. Part of that is the games that they're playing there, but the experience at War Memorial is not resonating with the young people, and that's going to be a factor somewhere down the road.
I'm going to be honest. I think it really plays hand-in-hand with how the team has been in the past, like the 41,000. I mean, like, by the time they played Ole Miss that rainy, I think that was my freshman year.
That was still
college.
A great crowd.
It was a great crowd.
That's the best crowd they've had.
And that was
long
the
time.
Best they played that year in an SEC game.
Mm-hmm.
The Missouri game the next year, they actually played pretty well in that game, and that crowd was not good.
Well, they were competitive. That was not a good game.
It was a competitive game. They played well for the standards of that year in SEC play. Jack Lindsey and the boys almost got it done. But it's like, it's hard. It's almost like they're scheduling it to, it feels like the schedule is being designed simultaneously with just how the team has been the past few years to like lose War Memorial support. How are you supposed to like defend a stadium? Like, these games are ones that nobody wants to go to. Whenever they played LSU in 2010, it was packed because it was
best
a good
game I've ever been to there.
It was a best. It was a good team and a great game.
I've said this that, you know, if you want to talk about the demise of War Memorial Stadium, at least in how it, you know, is viewed. Its influence is viewed on the Razorback football schedule. You got to lay a lot of the responsibility at the feet of the schedule makers.
Mm-hmm.
They have every time in the last 25 years that the contract has come up for War Memorial, the years have been extended, but the influence that War Memorial has on Arkansas's schedule has been stripped away.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to 2008. They were supposed to play a couple of more years with three games there. So they extend the contract for a couple of years and make it to where they're never going to play more than two games a year there. Fast forward 5 years. Now there's no more two games a year there. They're going to play one game there each year over 5 years. Two of those games are going to be SEC games. Fast forward a little bit more. Now they're going to play Missouri there every other year, and they're going to have a spring game there every other year. That didn't last for very long. Fast forward a little bit further. Now you've got only non-conference games there, and it's the first time since War Memorial opened that they're not playing a team from the Southwest Conference or the SEC in that stadium. And now I think what War Memorial is always going to be saddled with, as long as there are games in Little Rock, is a game against one of the most unappealing opponents on the schedule. You can look at Arkansas State next year and say, well, Arkansas State, that's the first time Arkansas is playing them. That's an appealing game. Maybe, but I mean, would you say Arkansas State is more appealing than any of the eight SEC teams they're playing next year? Is it more appealing than Notre Dame? No. I mean, so at best, that's their 10th best game on the schedule next year. Their 10th most appealing game on the schedule next year is Arkansas State. And that's a really good game relative to what War Memorial has been getting against these FCS opponents.
Yeah, I think that's how I see it being treated for the foreseeable future, is like play, especially if you have like, if there's an in-state team on your schedule, non-conference, play it in Little Rock. If there's an FCS, if you don't have a in-state team, but you have an FCS opponent, play them in Little Rock.
Here's the big thing to me, though, is that moving forward, I think the bottom line is the bottom line. You know what I mean? Your finances are going to be the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have updated numbers on this. This is based on the last time that the contract was up for a renewal. This was in late 2017 that I got these numbers. But I think the numbers probably are still fairly comparable, so bear with me for a minute. At that time in 2017, the average revenue for a game at War Memorial Stadium was $3.7 million. The average revenue for a game in Fayetteville at that time in 2017 was $7.4 million, so double the amount in Little Rock. And it was projected to rise to $8.4 million at the time the North End Zone was completed, the North End Zone expansion at Razorback Stadium. So if those numbers are even anywhere in the same ballpark right now, and I think they probably are, you're looking at somewhere around $4.5 to $5 million is the difference in revenue between playing in Little Rock and playing in Fayetteville. And that doesn't take into consideration, Ethan, the fact that Little Rock, even though it is a home game for the Razorbacks, it is a travel game.
Yeah.
You have to take a big official party on the road to Little Rock. You have to get shuttle buses. You have to get hundreds of hotel rooms, I would imagine, at the Doubletree downtown. I mean, that's a big expense. And when you're looking, I listened to Hunter Yurecek address the Board of Trustees a couple of weeks ago. When you're looking at ways, as he said, to significantly increase revenues and decrease expenses, playing at War Memorial is an obvious thing to me that is an increase in revenue by playing in Fayetteville. It's a decrease in expense by not traveling to play a home game in Little Rock. It seems to me like this game might be on its final leg.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder how long they're able to keep games down there. When the quote great stadium debate began about 25 years ago, the big worry was that some of the big donors in Little Rock would withhold their money if the Razorbacks didn't play down there. I don't know how much more of a consideration that is. I'm sure that, you know, that has to be examined with everything else. Donor relations does, but I wonder how much of an impact that is now that you see the people who are leading these larger companies, these corporations. It's not the same people necessarily who were leading them 25 years ago. It's a new generation mm-hmm. of people. Did they really feel that passionate about keeping games in Central Arkansas as the people who came before them did?
Yeah, I think definitely the defense of War Memorial Stadium is dwindled. Like, it's just, if you go to a game on a hot Saturday, season opener, and they're out of water early.
That was
like,
a bad
like,
look last year.
You're running out of defense of, like, why to keep a game here. It's not only, like, if you're going to be not gaining as much revenue from having a game down there, it better be just an incredible, I just, like, it's got to be a super, super special thing, and I'm not sure that special, you know, like I mentioned 2010, I'm not sure that charm is there at all anymore.
I don't know that you can get it back either.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you played LSU there again, you know, the people would show up and they would be there for it. But again, I just don't think you're going to see SEC teams come back to Little Rock. I think that that's a bygone era. We talked about this with David Basil a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about, you know, what's the feeling among people in Little Rock about this game at War Memorial Stadium. And I think, you know, David, I think he's for the game there. I think David's for whatever's best for the Razorbacks. But, you know, I think he agreed with me, the fact that it just does seem like some of the enthusiasm has been lost, you know, for this game at War Memorial. Can you bring it back? I don't know if you can. And I will say one other thing is that the 9-game SEC schedule, I think this plays a factor in the War Memorial discussion, that let's say you have a year where you've got 5 road games in the SEC and you've got 4 SEC home games, and maybe, and I don't know if they'll ever get to this point, but let's say maybe that dovetails with a year where you're supposed to go to Utah,
mm-hmm.
or you're supposed to go to Lubbock, or you're supposed to go to Stillwater, or Notre Dame. That's down the road. They've got a trip lined up to South Bend. There's no way they're going to play a game in Little Rock on those years. And I think we're past the point where Little Rock expects to get a game annually. We've had a couple of years here just recently where they didn't get a game in 2020 and 2022. But I'm not sure we'll ever have finality about War Memorial Stadium. That's what I'm really interested to see is when this Arkansas State game ends or happens next year, and let's say the contract has not been extended at that point, like, what does anybody say about the game at War Memorial? Did they just kind of let it just sit there and never say anything about it again? Or is there some sort of official announcement that comes out and says, hey, we're never playing there anymore? Or, you know, maybe more likely to me is we're not totally closing the door on War Memorial, but we're going to kind of sit back for a year or two and reassess our options there moving forward.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, if you just stop having games there, if, like, you know, the Bring Back War Memorial Stadium crowd crawls out of the woodwork, so just raise a fit. I just haven't heard it personally. Like, the past few years, it feels like that crowd they're losing, even they don't think it's that important.
I think there are a lot of people who realize how much college football has changed. And I say this, that it feels to me like college football is changing in dog years. You know, so, like, where it used to, you know, you kind of had this gradual change. Now it's like 1 year worth of change might have felt like 7 years worth of change a decade ago. It just seems to me like a lot of people who have been on the bandwagon for keeping games in Little Rock, and this includes people who live down there, some of the people I've talked to, it just feels like they have resigned to the fact that this is something from a bygone era,
mm-hmm.
and that it's best for the team moving forward if this game isn't played anymore, and, you know, all of the resources that could possibly be put into the team are put into the team through a home game.
Yeah, I will say it's always kind of cool still to see, like, on the game days there, like, the people walking from their houses to get there. Like, there's still, like, a really cool charm to it. It'll be sad to see that not happen if it, you know, if this ends pretty soon, but you got to, like, the bottom line is the bottom line, like you said.
Yep, I think that's the bottom line. Ethan, we appreciate you being here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Josh Pastner, the former basketball coach at Memphis and Georgia Tech, about his years working with John Calipari, and a little bit more. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Taste, sip, sample, and discover the very best restaurants and chefs Northwest Arkansas has to offer at the Bite Experience at the LPGA, a unique culinary experience on site at the Northwest Arkansas Championship. Tickets are available Friday, September 27th through Sunday, September 29th, offering access to the best golf viewing and food and beverage samples from over 30 local restaurants. You don't want to miss this. Tickets are available for $45 a day. Get yours before they sell out at BiteNWA.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We appreciate you being here on a Monday. We want to tell you about Bentonville Glass, serving its community since 1971. Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, choose Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come find them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Josh Pastner is a former basketball coach at Memphis and at Georgia Tech, and now he's an analyst for ESPN, NBC Peacock, and Turner Sports for the NCAA tournament. And Coach Pastner, you also were an assistant coach for John Calipari many years ago. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Love talking about Coach Calipari. And I'm in the car parked, so I got my seatbelt on, so I don't want anyone to think I'm driving and doing the Zoom talking at the same time. But really excited to talk about Coach Cal and you guys. When I say you guys, all, you know, Razorback Nation over there, which I'm very familiar with because when I was a head coach at Memphis for 7 years, I understood crossing over the state lines and what that meant in the sea of red that was all across the state. And so so I fully understand how passionate the fan base is. And I can tell, and so does Coach Calipari, because obviously he was at Memphis a long time. But I can tell you that Razorback Nation, you got an incredible coach. And I think, there's not going to be a lot of waiting around. I mean, you're going to be competing for SEC championships and Final Fours and national championships starting this year. Not like it's not going to be a 3-4 year wait. You're going to be competing at the highest level starting this year.
I saw Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish did a story the other day where they polled various Division I coaches. And, of course, Calipari going to Arkansas was, the big surprise move, if you will, in college basketball. Does it feel real yet to you? I mean, has it set in that he actually left Kentucky to Arkansas?
I think it was just completely shocking for a lot of people for him to leave Kentucky. And look, being at Kentucky as long as he was, I mean, that's not an easy job either, obviously. And he had tremendous success there, won a lot of games. I think it's kind of set in and settled in. But the way things are, first of all, Arkansas is a big time basketball program. They've had tremendous success. It's the state school. There is no pro team in the state. I mean, it's, people love Arkansas basketball. I mean, in Arkansas sports in general, but I know how much they love Arkansas basketball. Obviously, you've had great success. You've won a national championship, all that good stuff with Coach Richardson back and then. You've had other coaches there who've made deep runs. But because of the new era of college hoops, and this is just my personal opinion, that I don't know how much the prospects are as concerned about the name on the front of the jersey anymore, based on what is allowed, based on NIL and the pay-to-play model, with the name, image, likeness, and all the marketing and the revenue sharing. Probably 10, 15 years ago, would Scott Drew have turned down Louisville or Kentucky to stay at Baylor? Of course not. Would Coach Calipari have gone from Kentucky to Arkansas? Probably not. But things have changed because it's not so much about the history of the program anymore. It's really the current situation of financially on the impact of being able to get the best recruits. And a school like Arkansas, based on the some of the tremendous donors and boosters and incredible companies and organizations that support Arkansas, you know, from when you have a guy that has a success of John Calipari, of the amount of players he's put into the NBA and all the wins, and he's a Hall of Famer, on top of the financial impact, the possibility that Arkansas can make based on, you know, some of the great donors they have and the excitement, enthusiasm that Coach Calipari brings, you know, they're just automatically lit up to the very top of the food chain in college basketball. And that's just the way that the dynamics are in 2024 and beyond moving forward than it was maybe a decade ago. And I don't know if you agree on that, not or Matt, but I think that's just the reality of it, of where we're at in college hoops.
Well, and I mean, I think that's something that we talk about on this show quite a bit, is that you can't look at anything anymore through the prism that you looked at it 5 years ago. Everything has changed so much that it's just changing, and it continues to change. It feels like at a higher speed than it ever has in college sports. You mentioned Scott Drew at Baylor. Arkansas and Baylor are going to play in Dallas in November. That was announced over the weekend or late last Friday. How good can that game be based on what you know about Arkansas and what you know about Baylor?
I think it's going to be a high-level game. I did see that, Matt, that they're going to play against each other, and I think that's just that's going to be an elite game. And it's early in the season, too, so which is great for college hoops as well, too. Mm-hmm. You know, Baylor has had – Scott Drew has had good success recruiting in Arkansas. You know, he's been in there quite a bit. But they're going to be really good this year. Again, Baylor's good every year when he's got that program rolling right now, obviously, is – you know, on one of the best programs consistently year in, year out, plus with who Coach Calipari has brought in and the guys that are returning, that's going to be a power, you know, big time power game, in a sense that it could be telling of a Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchup down the road in the NCAA tournament in 2025. So you'll know a lot about the fan bases of each team will know a lot about their teams after that game has concluded.
As a head coach, how competitive did you want to be in non-conference games? Because, I mean, you look at Arkansas' schedule this year. We mentioned Baylor. They're going to play Illinois and Kansas City. Michigan is part of Jimmy V at Madison Square Garden. Miami is part of the ACC Challenge. There are going to be some really good non-conference games on here. I mean, if you look at that as a head coach, does that excite you? Does it make you nervous?
Well, I would say two things. And regarding the Illinois game, I think that's right. That's on CBS right after the on Thanksgiving, right after the NFL game. So, again, credit to and I'm sure Brad Underwood had some doing in it. But, you know, Coach Calipari is such a genius with marketing and seeing the big picture. So, I'm sure he fought to get that. I'm assuming that he fought to get that on right after the football game, because, you know this, Matt, the amount of viewership.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to be watching the football game. Everybody in America is going to be watching the football game. And then when the football game is done, they're not just going to turn it off. That's going to lead into the Arkansas-Illinois basketball game. So the amount of viewership, I would assume that game will be one of the most highly watched games in the last 10 years of college basketball, just based on where it's set in on Thanksgiving after that NFL game. So you'll see the ratings after that game's done at extremely high numbers. But to answer your question, yes, I mean, it's very important to play a non-conference schedule. I mean, look, I think it all depends on what you're trying to accomplish. When you have a team like Arkansas, like with Coach Calipari, you know, you're not trying to play for the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're going to be in the tournament. He's really playing for seeding. And so you've got to do a great job and win in the non-conference and win some of those marquee games like the Michigans, Illinois, Baylors. Win some of those, because that helps you get the best seeding possible to give you your best chance to make the deepest run. But yes, you're going to be tested and have tremendous competition in the SEC now, including with Texas coming in and Oklahoma and everything else. Plus the league is as good as there is in the country right now. But playing that non-conference schedule like that, getting tested, you know a lot about your team early. But for a team like Arkansas, for a team like Baylor, they're planning on being in the tournament. So they're playing for seeding in those type of games You know, when you like the Illinois game, like the Michigan game, you know, you've got to win those, but that helps you later on when you deal with the committee to get into the tournament with the higher seed, which obviously gives you your best chance. As I always say, the whole thing's to get, look, everyone wants to win a national championship, but the whole thing is to get to the Sweet 16, because once you get to the Sweet 16, it's really a crapshoot. It's a lot of its matchups. Anything can happen. It's getting through that first two games of the round one and two, basically. Mm-hmm. Getting through that, once you get to the Sweet 16, you really have a great shot of advancing the Final Four, because anything can happen, because it is, like I mentioned, matchups. But to get your best shot to get to the Sweet 16, everything comes down to having great seeding, and that starts with playing a great non-conference schedule.
You've coached
and winning games, and you got to win the games too.
Right. You've coached in the ACC. You know what a really deep basketball league looks like. Is the SEC getting to that point?
I think the SEC, personally, I think this year they're going to be the best league, you know, in the preseason. Again, things can change as we move forward. And, you know, the Big 12, based on numbers last year, you know, going into the tournament and everything, you know, a strength of conference, if you look at the analytics. Obviously, the Big Ten's, he's gotten added teams. But I do think going in on paper, based on who's coming back, who they've signed, the addition of other coaches, I would say moving into this season, the SEC will be conference number one, with the chance to be the best conference in all of college basketball this year. You know, the one thing about the Big East, which I think is obviously, you know, they don't have football or anything, but it's an incredible basketball conference. But they only did get three teams in last year to the NCAA tournament. So I think that's a deep league. But I think going in, from my perspective, the SEC, with the addition of who they have coming in prospect-wise, plus the coaches and the changes, I'm going the SEC is going to be the best. And not only the prospect-wise, the additional teams coming in. So you're going to look at the SEC is the best league going into this season, and it's a gauntlet. Every game is a complete fight, which is awesome. I mean, it's exhilarating. It's thrilling. There's so much enthusiasm. I've never been to a game at home where Arkansas plays. I've recruited into Arkansas and understand, you know, like I said, the passion. But everyone tells me how intense the fan base is, and it's one of the great fan bases and great home court advantages in all of college basketball. So you have that coming in with the SEC, but literally every time you're playing someone, it's going to be just a big time basketball game. And I think when you mentioned earlier about the CBS poll of Coach Calipari, when does it set in? I think the real time it will set in is when he's going to Lexington on February 1st on prime time playing at Kentucky, Arkansas, Kentucky. That's when it will really, really set in for everyone that he's no longer at Kentucky.
22 years ago, John Calipari ended the Arkansas-Memphis series. You never extended it when you were the head coach there. Now that you're not there, knowing what you know about those two programs, what would you think if that game came back?
I think it should come back. If I knew what I knew now, I would have extended the series. And Coach Calipari, yes, he shut it down, but I should have extended it. You know, when I look back, I wish I had extended it, because that is something like the Memphis, Louisville, Memphis, Arkansas. And again, maybe not everyone on the West Coast or the Northeast understands it, but Memphis, Arkansas is such a big rival. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had so many recruiting, battles between everybody way back in the day. I mean, even when Larry Finch was the coach at Memphis, when they called it Memphis State back in the day. I mean, you can just go on and on. I mean, even back to Dana Kirk when he was a coach at Memphis. So it's been a Gene Bartow when he was there. I mean, it's such an intense rival. And Memphis and Arkansas obviously played last year in Orlando.
The Battle for Atlantis.
It was Bahamas. So they did play, but that was in a neutral tournament. It needs to get back towards home and home, and for the fan base's sake, that's one of the things. If I could have done it over again, I would have done that and try to revisit the Arkansas rivalry game between Memphis and you live and learn, you know, along along the lines of that. So that is something that I definitely look back and I wish I had restarted that game, restarted that series.
Well, Penny Hardaway has seemed like he is in favor of potentially having that conversation, and with hopefully with Calipari back here at Arkansas, that might happen. Josh, one more for you. We'll get you out here on this. Having worked for John Calipari, just having been a coach for so many years, what do you think the offseason looks like right now over at Arkansas's facility? What does he have them doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, look, everyone talks about his recruiting. I mean, you look at the players that he's put in the NBA. I mean, it's unmatched. You look at the All-Star game, you look at the Olympics. I mean, he's got John Calipari's got guys all over the place. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get enough credit for how good of a coach he is. And I get it. People have gotten on him the last couple of years. They've had some early exits. I mean, it doesn't say road to the regular season championship. It doesn't say road to the, it says road to the Final Four. So everything mm-hmm. in college basketball is about road to the Final Four. So I get that. And he had a couple, you know, tough early exits in the tournament, which anybody knows it, you know, and you get judged by that. You know, you have an off night, you have one off night or one guy gets hot, and those things can just happen, and it can just kind of forget everything about the past of the season. I mean, people forget last year going into the tournament, you know, this covering the SEC, a lot of people were picking Kentucky to go to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the sexy pick going in. Like, even though they were young, a lot of people were excited and enthused about how they were playing and really picked them to go to the Final Four. And of course they had a really tough out. So I say all that to tell you this, he's an incredible coach. He's a big time coach. You don't win like he's won at the level he's won at without being a big time coach. So what they're doing right now, and I know him, I mean, I worked for him. So, I mean, right now it's his whole focus is obviously more than just the X's and O's mm-hmm. And about rebounding and defensively. He's laying his groundwork because he's so big about gelling the team and getting guys to play together. When he has a talented team like he does, with all the amount of talent that he's been able to accumulate in all of his different teams, and nothing different this year at Arkansas, he's a master at making things work, even for one and done guys. How does he gel them together and have them fit in and understand about playing hard and competing? And look, I think him being at Arkansas for Coach Calipari, it gives him a fresh start. Mm-hmm. It gives him a fresh extra pep in his step. You know, when at the success that he had at Kentucky, you know, it was a long time he was there. I mean, that's almost impossible to be at that job for that long. And so it could almost wear you down. I think him being at Arkansas gives him a new, like I said, a new start, a fresh, clean slate mentally. I think right now he's probably so intense with his guys, and I'm sure more than anything, they're locked in defensively and moving the ball and just playing so darn hard. And I just think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm I work for him or I'm a fan of how successful he's been. I'm telling you, you know, just as objectively, that Arkansas is going to be a real player in the national conversation for deep runs, for national championships, for as long as he's there. And that starts this year. And I would not be surprised, based on Coach Calipari's fresh start, new look, you know, just a new pep in his step, that he's got Arkansas knocking on the doors of the Final Four this upcoming season. It wouldn't surprise me. It would be and it wouldn't be a shock to anybody within the industry in college basketball. That's how good he is. That's how well they've recruited, and that's how well they're going to continue to recruit as long as he's the head coach there.
Good words, Josh. We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can catch up with you a little bit more after the season begins.
Yeah, anytime. I'd love to be on. Let me know. Appreciate it. And looking forward to watching the Razorbacks play this year.
All right. Josh Pastner, for John Calipari, assistant, former head coach at Memphis and Georgia Tech, now an analyst for several different college basketball networks. And we appreciate you being here on our podcast. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. Until then, hope you'll come to our website at wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everyone.